If you're retired right now, how would you be able to handle an additional $7,000 per month expense?
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 37 of Finding True Wealth. Today, we're going to be approaching the painful topic of long-term care insurance with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I'm going to be joined by Michael Tepper from Capitus Financial. And Michael's firm, Capitus, is a brokerage general agency supporting financial advisors like me. So when I have life insurance questions or long-term care insurance questions, my first call is to Michael. I've literally got him on speed dial, and he's going to be giving us all the information we need to know about the long-term care insurance topic. And there's a lot of misconceptions out there, so I hope that you enjoy listening to Michael from Capitus discuss. Hey, Michael, welcome to Finding True Wealth.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Michael, we've known each other for maybe about a year, and I lean on you a lot for questions about long-term care. So tell me a little bit about your expertise in the long-term care market and why you're my first call every time I have a case.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. I've been in the business since 1992, and our firm Capitus, on a national footprint, is helping advisors and their clients with these issues every day. Along with the 70 different carriers that we have access to, I think the reason for our expertise is that we're handling this issue for many, and we're in tune with a lot of what's going on in the marketplace, not only at the carrier level, but also with clients, their situation, and the advisors that are working with them.
So you've been in the long-term care industry for over 25 years, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And you have a daughter at Bowling Green, is that right?
Yeah, that is. She's in her second year, doing great. Thanks for asking.
Is she a long-term care expert as well?
No, she's relieved that she's not my long-term care plan.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Excellent. So people might have different ideas about what long-term care means and how it might apply to them, whether they're retired or thinking about retirement or even young. You know, why do people need to be thinking about long-term care today?
Well, I think it's without a doubt one of the largest predators to clients as they enter into retirement. I mean, let's face it, over the last 40 years, medicine has been improving that once used to shorten our life, they've now solved a lot of these medical issues, or at least allowed us to live with medical issues longer. So lifespans are longer, people are living longer. So it really comes down to not so much what's going to shorten my life, but what quality of life am I going to have as I age? And long-term care is one of these situations where either from a cognitive situation or physical situation, I no longer can take care of myself and I need somebody to come in and help me live my life, get out of bed, dress, medicate, do the simple things as use the restroom or bathe. And once I can't do that, I need those types of services, and those services are not inexpensive.
I read a study the other day that said that my daughter, who's 1 year old now, could live to be 150 years old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable.
And you know, she probably won't die of any natural cause. It'll probably be some sort of accident, because when her heart goes bad, they'll just like print a new one, you know, like a 3D printer.
Right. No, I've seen similar studies.
Now, you're talking about the activities of daily living, right?
Correct. And there are six of them, which include being able to get out of bed, medicate myself, feed myself, use the restroom, get dressed, transport. And when my doctor says that I can't do two of those six activities of daily living, I now qualify for long-term care. If I have dementia or Alzheimer's or any cognitive event, those are automatic qualifiers.
So these two of six activities of daily living, Is it that simple? The doctor just signs off and now I meet the definition?
Correct. Your physician actually prescribes this care and then writes up a plan of care, which is what any provider would use to give you long-term care services. I just read a survey, out of Harvard Med School that said that if you're 65 and healthy, there's a 7 out of 10 chance that you will need these services in your lifetime. If you're married in 65, there is a 9 out of 10 chance that one of you will need these services. And right now in the state of Michigan, the average cost for these services are somewhere around $7,000 a month.
Okay, so I'm having problems with my two activities of daily living. Maybe my wife can help me with some of these things. Maybe I need skilled care. I have to go into a nursing home or something, or assisted living, something like this, and I'm going to have to pay $7,000 a month. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Obviously, if a family member is going to be assisting you, the cost might be lower. But I think something that everybody really should be aware of, and this is a personal story, is that 10 years ago, I had to take care of my father who needed long-term care. Unfortunately, he only lasted for 2 years. And it was me and my three siblings. And, I wanted to be his son. I did not want to be his caregiver. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, our spouse, our children, number one, they might not be able to take care of us. I mean, look, I'm 217 pounds. Right now, at age 50, I'll tell you right now that my significant other could not lift me. She's 50. She could not lift me off the floor now. She's not going to do it when she's 80.
Good point.
Also, do you really want your son or daughter bathing you? I mean, these are things that most families don't think about. Mm-hmm. They're going to want skilled care, and that skilled care is expensive.
Yeah. So right now we're looking at $7,000 a month to go into a skilled care on average in Michigan. And the big question is, how are we going to pay for that?
Absolutely, because there's only a couple different ways we're going to do that. We're either going to use our money. We're either going to use a product to help us extend the money we have. We're going to either, third, get rid of our money and throw ourselves at the feet of the government for Medicaid, that program. Or what we're going to do is we're going to not do any of that. And we've seen a lot of planners and a lot of clients buy just life insurance, a permanent piece of life insurance, and they're saying we're still going to use our money, but at the end of life, that death benefit is going to replace what we spent on long-term care.
Okay, that's an interesting concept. And when we're looking at long-term care, the $7,000 a month, besides buying life insurance with that type of strategy, there's been this evolution of different packages or policies. A little personal story about me. My grandmother, my mom's mom, she developed Alzheimer's when I was a kid, had to go into a nursing home. And as a result, my mother is horrified that she could follow down that same path. So one of the first policies I ever wrote back in early 2000s was selling my mom a long-term care insurance policy. And it was like $100 a month for, like $150 a day back then. And it was one of the original types of policies where you pay forever. If you use it, great. You get your money back and then some. But if you never make a claim, you're going to lose it. So some people are turned off by those types of policies today because of some of the other problems we've seen with them. And you can maybe explain the evolution of that old school product.
Sure. That's a traditional policy. Back when I got into the business in the early 90s, about 40 or so carriers in the marketplace offered that type of policy. It was the only type of long-term care. You paid a premium for a benefit. If you went on claim, you got your benefit. But as you said, if you never went on claim, you never got anything back from that. And for those two specific reasons, number one, the use it or lose it, and then It used to be that premiums were guaranteed. Back in the early 90s, you could buy a policy from a carrier and they would guarantee that they were not going to raise your rates. Today, that's completely different. There is no domestic insurance carrier that will guarantee a consumer's cost. So what we've seen in the marketplace is many, many companies getting out of the marketplace. John Hancock, which was one of the innovators of long-term care, no longer sells these types of traditional type long-term care products. Genworth, MetLife, I mean, I can go on and on. All these major carriers have gotten out of the traditional long-term care space because they, from a financial modeling standpoint, can't see a viability for them because of the way these costs have just exponentially grown.
And as a result, they're raising, over the last 20 years, they've started raising the premiums on people, and they're giving people the option, hey, your premium's going to double forever, or you can take a smaller benefit. And that's exactly what my mom decided to do when they jacked her premium by, 100%, because the original benefit was like $150 a day, and, 15 years later, maybe the benefit was $250 a day, and we decided, well, we can keep the premium the same if we go back to the $150 a day. And so I've seen probably a dozen cases over the past couple of years where people are doing just that. They're trying some sort of negotiation ultimately with the insurance company, taking a lesser offer, saying, I want to keep the premium the same for a lesser benefit.
Absolutely. We see this going on with many, many clients. The industry has changed dramatically, where there used to be 40 plus carriers offering that kind of product. Today in 2018, there are five companies in the marketplace that offer this type of traditional long-term care. Where the industry has gravitated to are what we call hybrid type products, which for that consumer who is looking for a financial tool to help pay for long-term care, instead of going with this traditional use it or lose it model, they do either what is called an asset transfer, where they move a significant amount of money from a low yielding type of investments, like not even investments, but cash, savings account, money markets, and they move it to an insurance company and they get a pot of money for long-term care. That's one strategy. The other, which the vast majority has gone to, are these new breed of life insurance policies that allow the consumer during their lifetime to actually access the death benefit on a tax-free basis and draw that down for these long-term care costs. And what the clients, what the consumers are getting, is they're getting now a guarantee of cost, their cost model doesn't change, and they're getting a guaranteed benefit. And then there's cost recovery because it's guaranteed that at some point we're going to pass.
Right. So no matter what, the money's going to come back to either me or my family, rather than the use it or lose it type situation.
That is correct. And that's why I think most consumers are gravitating to that solution.
Okay. So it's kind of a different spin on a whole life insurance policy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Okay. Well, what if, what if I am sitting here and I've accumulated money and I feel like it's enough to take me through retirement and then some? Maybe I might approach this long-term care like, well, it's not going to be me, or if it is me, I've got plenty of money available. I'm going to be self-insured. What would you tell that guy?
Well, I would say that that might be the case. I think that person should think about their spouse, because although they probably are correct that they will have enough money for their needs, when they've exhausted that much money, because look, we're talking $7,000 a month today in 2018. When this event happens, typically for most people, it's in their late 70s, early 80s. If we're 20 years in the future, I mean, we've got this group of people called the baby boomers. I mean, you have, 80 million people about to stress the long-term care and the healthcare industries as they age. Who knows where these costs are going to go? I mean, I've read numerous articles and reports, studies that say that it won't be uncommon for there to be $20,000 and $25,000 per month expenditures for this in the future because of the way that health costs are going. Well, when you start talking about that kind of money, even though you're that guy who has accumulated, say, $3 million in liquid assets, You have a 3-year event and you burn through $1 million or $1.3 million of that asset. Don't forget, if you have to send $1.3 million to the nursing home, you have to probably sell off close to $2 million.
And that could be IRA money, right?
Oh, right. You have to pay Uncle Sam some. And so now what happens is you've really depleted your portfolio. What does that do to the surviving spouse?
So in addition to depleting the portfolio for this event, right, this 3-year event, which means 3 years in a nursing home, my spouse is also living at home. You know, normal community spouse, right? She has to have money to live on. So we're both draining down the portfolio at the same time. And then when I'm gone, there's a lot less left for her. You know, what happens to her?
Right. What happens if she has a long life expectancy and she lives another 10, 12, 15 plus years beyond you? What's her quality of life? So typically what I say to that person who says, I can self-insure, I usually say, you know, that might be the case, but, you know, looking at your assets, yes, this is not about do you need long-term care protection. This is a question of would you want to be able to use somebody else's money, if you could, to be able to pay for those events. It's about leveraging the money you have rather than just spending what you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so one thing I just thought of, we talked about, you know, always going into the nursing home. People really want to stay at home, though. They don't want to go into a nursing home, even if they can't do 2 of the daily 6. They don't want to go to a nursing home. I don't know anyone who wants that. What can we do to stay at home?
Sure, and this is probably one of the biggest innovations in the insurance landscape, is that the creation of these products address that exact issue. Over the last 25 years, the at-home care industry has really exploded. That's where most people take their care. So all of the modern tools, all the modern products pay for care no matter where you get it. At home, adult daycare, assisted living, or full-fledged nursing home. Some of the caveats is that the people giving the care do have to be licensed by the state. You do have to have a plan of care by the doctor. You do have to recertify on an annual basis. But certainly, if you're going to take your care at home, and I agree with you, most people want to, all the modern policies allow for that, and the consumer can draw for that.
Well, there's no question I'd much rather be at home. Now, what about we might hear in the news, or maybe we get an invitation to dinner, okay, from another financial service institution, and they're talking about long-term care and Medicaid. Maybe they're trying to educate us about how we can get qualified for Medicaid. Is that something that is really happening today? Is that something that is doable? Have the laws been changed so it's prohibitive? I mean, how does Medicaid work with long-term care?
Okay, great question. It's probably one of the biggest misconceptions or misinformation pieces that most people have. There's two programs in this country. One is Medicaid that you're asking about. The other one is Medicare. They're completely separate. So let me first talk about the question you've just asked me, Medicaid. There is certainly what's called Medicaid planning, where a client can meet with an attorney who specializes in this planning, and there are strategies that that attorney can help that family employ to, over a period of time, that client can divest themselves of assets to enough assets so they qualify for Medicaid. But I think people have to understand that what that means is that what Medicaid says is that for you to qualify for their program, you're allowed to have your residence, you're allowed to have $2,000 in the bank, and you're allowed to have your car. Everything else can't exist. Most people are really not interested in doing that. And as I was mentioning before, there are attorneys that specialize in helping families prepare that if this is the only course of action. I really don't see that for most people that's a viable option, because I don't think most people want to get rid of all their money to be able to have the government take care of them. The other thing that people have to understand is that although every facility has to have Medicaid beds, let's be realistic. These these care providers are in the business to make money. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have Medicaid beds. They want people paying for them. So the
because they can charge you and I $7,000 a month, and they can only charge Medicaid, say, $5,000
a month. Oh, maybe $2,000 a month. Wow. Absolutely. So there's different rules there. So that's number one. Number two, Medicaid does say that if you do qualify for Medicaid, they have to find you a bed within 100 miles of your residence. Well, I mean, 100 miles wow. is a long way for family to come visit you.
And the quality of care is directly correlated to the amount of family that is around. That's what I understand.
Well, I think your family is an advocate of you. I mean, yeah. if you're in a facility, they're going to give you good care. But certainly your family, when you're convalescing, is going to be advocates for you and making sure that you're getting the care you need. So I think there is some correlation there. So Medicaid is a program for people who've literally gotten rid of all of their assets. So that leaves Medicare. And Medicare is the program that I think most people have misconceptions about, where they believe, and this is wrong, that Medicare will help them with long-term care costs. And that's absolutely not the case. There's nothing in the Medicare law that talks about long-term care other than for the first 90 days, if you qualify, and I'll talk about what that means, for the first 90 days, if you qualify, then Medicaid does have some gap coverage. But for you to do that, one would need to qualify for long-term care immediately, have a 3-day stay in a hospital concurrent, and then directly go to a nursing home. Unless those pieces are satisfied, then Medicare will not pay. So it's very specific in the law what has to happen. Most people aren't going to spend 3 days in a hospital, as most hospitals are going to outpatient care. But even if they do, if given the choice, to your point, most people are going to want to come home. And as soon as they come home, now they're not qualified under Medicare.
Ouch. That's a little catch-22.
Oh, absolutely. And most people don't know.
Well, Michael, this is terribly exciting, this topic. You know, long-term care. I can just picture people driving down the road right now, getting educated on long-term care with a big smile on their face, right?
You're very optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we've covered it all. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that I should have?
No, other than the fact that I think this is a very personal decision for families to make. And I think working with a skilled advisor, a planner, I think is a must, because no matter how they want to take care of this event in their life, pre-planning is critical. If this event happens and they haven't talked about how they want it to happen, what they want to have happen versus what they don't want to have happen, it's going to be very difficult for them to make the right decisions, because they'll be emotionally charged and they won't have a plan in place. So having a plan in place with somebody like yourself, I think, would be critical to making sure that it happens the way they want to rather than the way they have to have it.
Well, thanks for the plug. You know, the good thing about, you know, working with your advisor is a lot of advisors have someone like Michael on their bench, you know, behind the scenes helping them, you know, with strategies and case design and stuff like that. So I'm very grateful to have you on my bench.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We love being there.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael really does make long-term care insurance fun, I guess. So just to recap here, we talked about, you know, why people need long-term care, what is long-term care insurance, how do you qualify for long-term care, you know, what are the problems with considering yourself self-insured, how can you set up a plan where you can be staying at home, you know, how does Medicare and Medicaid fit in, and most importantly, understanding that if you have questions, you can call us, and then I'll bring in Michael to help me on the case. So if you're retired and you're concerned about long-term care insurance, maybe you already have a policy and you're not sure if it still meets your needs, maybe you're thinking about making a change, maybe you don't have anything at all, you want to understand how a long-term care event might change or disrupt your retirement plan, give me a call or apply for an appointment on peakwm.com, or you can email me directly, Nick@peakwm.com. Don't forget, the best way to listen to Finding True Wealth is on the Podbean app. So if you have not downloaded it already, go ahead and do that now. The Podbean app. And go ahead and start with episode one. If you haven't listened to them all, go back and start with episode one. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.